Masechet Avodah Zarah, Perek Bet Mishnah Zayin. In this Mishnah, we're going to talk about foods of idol worshippers that are still permitted, even though we may have reason to think that they are problematic. We'll deal with items of food that we mentioned in the last Mishnah, but when certain conditions are fulfilled, would be allowed. Mishnah says, Elu mutarin ba'achila. These items are permitted for Jews to eat. Halav shehalava oved kochavim v'Yisrael ro'ehu. If there's milk that an idol worshipper was milking, but a Jew had the ability to see him, there's no concern that the idol worshipper may have mixed in milk of a non-kosher animal with this kosher milk. That seems to be obvious. Hachamim comment on here and say, it must be talking about a situation where not only could the Jew see that no non-kosher milk is getting mixed in, but he's even within the vicinity of possibly seeing, then the idol worshipper has a little bit of nervousness and he won't mix things up. He won't take not kosher milk, even in that situation, if there's a Jew within the vicinity with the option, with the possibility of seeing. Vahadevash, honey as well. Honey of an idol worshipper is permitted. We're not concerned that the idol worshipper added wine to that honey because it would destroy it. V'hadavdaniyot afal pi shemenat tefin. Grape clusters that are dripping with grape juice, their own grape juice, are permitted as well, even though grape juice is part of yayin nesech, of wine of idol worshippers, that is usually prohibited. That only kicks in once they reached a certain stage in the winemaking process, and over here it hasn't been reached. We know that for certain items to become tameh, they have to first be prepared. That preparation means that they're wet, that they have a certain lahut to them from a certain liquid, and that's when they become susceptible to tum'ah. En bahem mishum hechsher mashke. In this case, when the grape juice is on this cluster of grapes, the grapes cannot become tameh even though there's liquid on them, because the owner doesn't have any intention of having them become wet. He doesn't want the grapes to become wet, so therefore they were just meant to be eaten, and therefore the non-interest of the liquid dripping from them, from the owner, makes them not susceptible to tum'ah. Ukvashin she'en darkan latet letochan yayin v'chometz. Pickled foods, vegetables, that it's not normal for people to put in wine or vinegar, would be permissible. In the last Mishnah, we mentioned pickled items that were prohibited, but that's when wine or vinegar are usually added in. Here, it's not usually done, so therefore it's permissible. V'tarit she'en terufa, tarit fish, which are kosher fish. But we said in the last Mishnah that if they're very finely chopped, they can't be recognized, it's problematic. Here, when they're not so finely chopped, they can be recognized as kosher, and therefore it's permissible. V'sir sheyesh badaga, fish brine that has the kilbit fish swimming in it. We mentioned in the last Mishnah, the kilbit fish could only swim in kosher brine for whatever reason. It only survives in kosher brine. So if there's a kilbit fish in this brine, it's obviously kosher. Ve'ala shel hiltit, the leaf of hiltit, which is not cut, and therefore there's no non-kosher flavors in there. We said in the last Mishnah that the hiltit, if it's cut by a non-Jew, the non-Jew used that knife on other things, and therefore it makes the hiltit as well problematic. Here, if it's uncut, there's no issue. Ve'zetim gelus ka'ot ha-megulgalin, cakes of softened olives. We learn here that we're not concerned that any wine was added to these types of softened olives. The heat that naturally happens when you put olives in one spot, they soften up into a cake-like shape on their own. We're not nervous that any wine was added to here as well. But according to another Tana, there's an exception to the last law. Rabbi Yose Omer, Hashiluhin Asurin. Olives that were that drop their pits, that the pits fall out when the olives are softened, are prohibited, because we assume here that they're so soft because the owner soaked them in wine. So if they're really soft and the pits just fall out on their own, they become problematic. The Torah permits eating grasshoppers. There's a permissible type of grasshopper that actually nowadays, even certain traditions like the Yemenite Jews, they continue to eat these types of grasshoppers. And question becomes, are you allowed to purchase these types of grasshoppers from an idol worshipper? Hagavim habaim mina selula asurin. Grasshoppers that are actually kosher, that are being sold by an idol worshipper from the basket, are prohibited, because he pours non-kosher wine on them in order to soften them, in order to make them right to sell. Mina heftek mutarin. But if he sells them from a storage bin, they're permitted. Idol worshippers would not normally pour wine on grasshoppers from the storage bin, so because he didn't want them to get destroyed because they're going to sit for some time in that wine. So therefore, that is permissible. Another law with similar halachot. V'chein la'truma, the same with tiruma, produce that's in a basket of an untrustworthy kohen that's being sold as holin is prohibited because we're nervous that it really is tiruma, and he's trying to sell it at a higher price of holin. But if it's coming from a storage bin, it would be permitted. A little background for this. Tiruma is the portion of produce that is given to a kohen, and a kohen has to keep it pure at all times, and only him and his household are allowed to eat it when they're pure as well. So tiruma is not considered to be in high demand because of all the conditions that apply to it. And if it's being sold, there's a small market for it, so therefore the price would be lower than regular holin. Holin is non-tiruma. So if somebody is selling tiruma as holin, he could cause people who are non-kohanim to buy it because he's expanding his market, but he could cause them to make a big avera because they're eating tiruma. So the rabbis wanted to punish this type of person, and they said that his produce is ownerless. They gave him a knas, and his produce would be ownerless. But a non-honest kohen may still try and sell his tiruma from a basket. It's in his basket, and he's claiming that it's holin. Because in his mind, all right, if I get caught by the rabbis, then I only lose out on whatever's in my basket. I'm not going to lose on everything. So therefore, if a kohen who we know to be an untrustworthy person, if he's claiming that whatever's in the basket is holin, we're not allowed to buy from him because he's not taking such a risk. He's only risking whatever small amount is in his basket. So therefore, its odds are he's possibly lying. But if the kohen, even if he's untrustworthy, is selling out of a large storage bin, he's taking a risk because if he gets caught, then the entire storage bin that he's selling from is going to be made ownerless from the rabbis. So therefore, in that type of scenario, he would be trusted.